As we discussed the Rosh, one of the Gedolei Rishonim decided to point out the line that is found in the Shalos HaTshuvos Maharit. Maharit is one of the great poskim, basically, who was born in Sfas and Lamaisi passed away in Turkey. The Maharit was the son, Rabbi Maharit is Rabbi Yosef of Trani. Trani is Italy. Rabbi Yosef of Trani. Actually, one of the famous Rishonim, Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid, which is in some Gemaras, it's printed on the margin even. Tosfos Rid is Rabbeinu Yeshaya de Trani, goes back even earlier, many, many years earlier, also of Trani. You can imagine Italy had many Rishonim. The Oruch lived in Italy. Namely, he lived in Rome, in Kedoyme. The Marik is the Rebbe of the Bartanura. Bartanura himself was from Italy. And the Maharik, Rabbi Yosef Kolon, was also Italy. And the list goes on and on. This past Shavuos, actually, Shavuos night, Tikkun Shavuos, there was 100 years of the sinking of the Titanic. So we discussed the halachic issues that came up at the time, which was involving the questions of Aguna. Because many bodies of the people who died were not retrieved. And as a result, wives that were left, either they survived or never went on the trip Bechlal. There's many shilas, and basically we brought down different periodicals, actually going back to many, many years ago. And among the poskim that were used at the time, going back 100 years ago, making reference to even many, many more 100 years earlier, because the Tshuvos Maharit actually has a similar question about a boat that sank. And there were very few survivors, but the point is, the question was regarding to find a heter for the wives to remarry, being that there was no direct, no edus, a witness of seeing any of the bodies dead, and therefore you have to work a lot with circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence is accepted only if it's called a simon muvak. It has to be very, very circumstantial, very close to almost being positive, almost. And therefore, this is one of the most difficult childs, of course. So the Maharit is one who addresses himself to exist to a similar situation of a boat that sank. As I mentioned, Maharit, I mention it because interesting thing that he writes that he was a Zoyche. He says that Ramosha Alshich, which was the Alshich HaKodesh, saw a great spiritual light, he said, over the house that when he was born. In other words, this Rabbi de Maharit. When Maharit was born, he said, Ramosha Alshich, the Alshich HaKodesh, said that he saw a great spiritual light over the house on the night of his birth, and his name, which is his name was, as we said, Rabbi Yosef. Well, actually, this is Ramosha. Ramosha Alshich, he called himself Ramosha David. He was named after Ramosha Kardaviro. But in any case, interesting to point out that the Maharit writes that he wanted to be Mevarei Shaila, and he was looking Poshet to find some sources. And he said, we have the Tshuvos HaRosh, but he couldn't find anything pertaining to that child in the Tshuvos HaRosh. But then he writes as follows. Maharit writes, V'ino Hashem liyodi, Nakash Baruch Hu brought unto to my hand. Now Hashem, normally he said, I never would have found it. V'ino Hashem liyodi, he says, Sefer Tshuvos HaRosh, Ksav Yad. Because in the printed Tshuvos HaRosh, he says he could not find it, what he was looking for. But Ino Hashem Liyodi, Hashem made it available, and he thanks Hashem that he found the Ksav Yad, Sheyesh Bo Miktsas Tshuvos Lebo Letus, that were not yet printed. So today everything, you can email anything from one end to the other. So anything that exists in one place would easily can exist in another place. But in those days, it was in one place, and that's all it was. And to be able to have access to situations like that was a tremendous, like almost like a miracle many times. So he writes in the Tshuvos Maharit that he was very happy regarding the Shaila, that he was trying to be Mevar, that in Hashem Liyodi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made available, he says, the Tshuvos HaRosh. Could I have to mention also another great Godel, just to talk about him, because what he makes reference to appreciate what he says about the Rosh. Again, the Rosh is a Rishon. Who needs to talk about a Rishon, really? But yet you find out, you see, that among the Rishonim themselves, there are those that even stood out more than others. There was a Adam Godel Meyoid, is known, the Marsha brings him quite a number of places. The Marsha in the Chedushim al Hashas is called the Ri Bar Lev. Ri Bar Lev is the Yosef Ben Lev. The Ri Bar Lev, also, he was born in Turkey, actually, and was Nifter in Turkey. There's a point out something, this Ri Bar Lev had also a very interesting history regarding himself. The Ri Bar Lev, first of all, he was very extremely strong, and he was very fearless, very outspoken. That which he believed was to be right, was to be true. He really stood up for that. Even he said against the most wealthy, he says, the most influential people in the community, it didn't bother him. If he felt that he had something to say, even it would be against them, he would say it. And unable to actually witness, to see anything that is wrongdoing, but he especially sought to vindicate the poor, because the poor are always vulnerable. Anyone, right, wanted to pick on somebody, you pick on the poor and the feeble. And being that he took up the side of the poor, many, many times it incurred upon him the wrath and the anger, he said, of the wealthy, and so on. But he would never allow, he says, them to persecute, he says, people who were of a lower class than they were. And Lamaise, being that he was so strong and outspoken, sometimes it works against him. That led to his departure from Salonika, and he had to run off to Constantinople, which at the time. So interesting, there's a sefer called Koira HaDoiris, quite an early sefer. Name of the Koira HaDoiris, name is Rav David Conforte. That was his name. And he says the following story, he says about Rabbi Yosef's departure. And he says this following. And he says, actually, there is two versions in it. One version is that there was a particular person who was a disgruntled individual. This individual, because he lost a lawsuit. He lost a lawsuit, so he went and he complained to Rabbi Yosef on the streets. He went to be Mavazer Rabbi Yosef on the street, and unsatisfied, it seems that when I say lawsuit, it seemed to be it was a dentire of some sort, and there he blamed Rabbi Yosef that the psak went against him. And he meets Rabbi Yosef, he meets the Riba Lev. Again, realize the Riba Lev is brought down by the Mashoh. Many men tell Hiksha Riba Lev, such and such is Kedushin. Hiksha Ma Riba Lev, Hiksha Ma Riba Lev. The Mashoh answers the Kashas, but he brings them all over the place. So, in any case, so the Riba Lev was walking on the street, and this person was a disgruntled person because he lost it. He went over to him, and Rabbi Yosef answered him. He was not happy with the response that the Riba Lev gave him, so he actually slapped him on the street. Apparently, what happened was that because of this person who was financially pretty much up there on a high scale, and he also had political power, so no one dared to protest what he did. So despite the fact there was a tremendous bizoy in Talmud Chochom, but no one dared to protest against what this person did. And Rabbi Yosef, therefore, who was very appalled of such a situation, and as it was clear desecration of Kovod HaTorah, what happened, so he tore his clothing. He himself tore Kriya. He tore Kriya, and he loudly proclaimed, he says, the Yavle. That same night, this is recorded by this Rav David Conforte, he said, that same night, he said, a fire broke out in a store close to the area where the incident occurred. The fire raged on until it destroyed 5,000 houses. 5,000 houses in the Jewish section, and it claimed 200 lives. And after the fire, a Magefa broke out, claiming more lives, and Rabbi Yosef left the town. It was accepted by all that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking up for the comfort and desecration of Kovod HaTorah. Anyway, so the Mariba Lev writes as follows, regarding a particular Shaila. She writes, HaKlal Ho'olim HaDvarim, he says, I want you to know this, the summary, at the end of my tshuva, I want you to know what emerges from my tshuva, that if they were matir, the Shaila was, can you be matir, you have to aser, that if they were matir, b'dievet pshitu pshitu duhu mutar, he says. If the evidence they already were matir, you can rely. I never, he says, allowed myself to be matir this particular shayla l'ketchila, and I never allowed myself to be counted, he says, b'hatoros ke'elu. Why? Many were matir l'ketchila, but I never allowed myself in this shayla, whatever the shayla was, I never allowed myself to be among. But the evidence, yes. But not the Ketchila. You know why not the Ketchila? Lefi sheyesh lochush lahachmir lesvaris harosh. Because we have to be choshe. The Rosh is machmir. And therefore the Ketchila, he said, we have to be choshe to the svar of the Rosh. Now look what he says further. Even though, he says, apal pi shatoisviz vaharan kozvu deloy kavose, even though Toisvus and the Ram have a different opinion than the Rosh. Mekol Mekoyim, says the Riba Lev, even though the Ram maybe opposes the Rosh's opinion, and even though that Tosfos opposes the Rosh's opinion, L'ketchila, I do worry about the opinion. You know why? Royu lochush l'dvarov, it is appropriate, right, to take in consideration his words, l'hachmir, umi lonu godol mimenu b'chol u'achroinim, umi piv onu chayim, b'frat b'chol malchus svarat. It's from his mouth that we live, in all of Spain, he says. Who is greater than him, he says, in those generations that we're talking about, and so on. So let me just tell you, the great Shagasarya, great Goyen, big pilpul sefer, tremendous genius. There's a sefer called Seder HaDoiris. Machaber was Rabbi Chil Halperin. It brings down a lot of history of Tanoim, Amaroyim, and so on. It's not Kishmoy Kenu, Seder HaDoiris. Talks about the Gedolim of different generations. And the Shagasarya was called actually in the mid-1700s to become Rosh Yeshiva in Minsk. But that was where the Seder HaDoiris had a yeshiva. Rabbi Chil Halperin was his name. Zechil Halperin, and Shagasarya was called there to be a Rosh Yeshiva. In any case, so it was a question that Shaila came up, nothing with the Shagasarya, I'm just coming to this on the side, to let you know the Shaychis. So the Seder HaDoiris, right, was a particular Shaila that came out, and he says, you know what? There was a difference of opinion on this Shaila between the Rosh and the Rambam. Says the Seder HaDoiris, it's found in Chelik Aleph, on Daf Kuf Yudalit, whoever wants to look it up. And the Seder HaDoiris is like this. Onu nismochin al devorov, he says, Yoyser medivra harambam. You get it? We rely on the Rosh, he says, more than the Rambam. Why? Lefisha Rambam kosif kedivra nevua bli raya. Rambam didn't bring any raya. See, everyone put a Rambam, he says, this is daloche. He doesn't tell you why. That's why you have thousands of shiurim trying to figure out. As a matter of fact, Rambam comes out of Pashas, Rambam always learned different than the Gemara, because Rambam's always shver Rambam. What's a shver Rambam? The Gemara seems to say against the Rambam. So you have to say a lot of shiurim, but to firm for the Rambam. So the Seder HaDoiris says, listen, whatever the Rambam wrote, he wrote without a raya. But the Rosh wrote a raya. Kach shomati, I heard this Migdoyla Castile. I heard this from the Gedolim of Spain. He said that. Said that's the difference between the Rosh and the Rambam. Rambam wrote one was great. But whatever he wrote was without a raya. And therefore said the Seder HaDoiris. Said there's a question who to paskim. He said we paskim like the Rosh. No, what about Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beis Yosef, Mechaber the Shulchan Aruch, but Shaykh, God Ladorim Psak the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchas Gittin, Yigive Gerishin, Horosh Zal is the Rabbon Shokol B'nei Goyla Sfarad. He says, he is the Rebbe of the entire exile of Spain. So the Beis Yosef, you know the Rosh was with the Ashkenazi in the beginning, but we know the Rosh, as we know, he settled and immigrated to Spain, and the Beis Yosef writes regarding the Rosh that he's the Rabbon Shokol B'nei Goyla of Sfarad. So with this, Rabbi Yisai, so we continue now in the Yerchas Chaim. Okay, we are still in Yom Rishon. Okay, we are here on Daf Ches, Sif Yud Gimel. Okay, we are on Daf Ches, Sif Yud Gimel. Let's see. We move a little slowly over here, but actually, we do a Yud Beis, so we'll do Yud Beis. But we're not going to dwell on Yud Beis because what he says in Yud Beis, he sort of says that a little bit differently later on in Mem. So when we get to Mem, possibly we'll show the difference of what he writes in Yud Beis. But Yud Beis is, you can see, look at the lashon that the Rosh writes. Again, the Rosh writes, Shlo yistakel b'isho shehi asur aloy. In other words, a woman that is also to him, right? A woman is also to him, in other words, if he's not married to her. So person should not be mistakel. You realize also there's a difference between mistakel and riyah, right, to look, or lahabit also. In Lashon Kodesh, there seems to be sometimes many words that mean the same, but there's no two words that mean exactly the same. And the Malbim already, and then many other svarim have been written to show where certain words are used, even though they seem to be almost the same, but they're not. They're not. Riyah means like a riyah bi'alma, a casual look. Histaklus means more of a deep look. Histak to be mistakel. Stakel of Lashon Seichel, which means you're looking and you're concentrating. So if you have a... So the idea what the Rosh is saying is not to be mistakel on a woman. Mistakel means where you're focusing. The idea is, you know, casual look, so you're back and forth, this is the pesandish. The Rosh is saying, stakel be'isho shehi asur aloy. Fine. Okay, as we say, we're not going to dwell on this, because in Ois Mem, the Rosh again addresses himself to this. Interestingly, sometimes it might even appear to be a stira, and Mefarshim tried to explain, to reconcile what he writes here in Yud Beis, as he writes later in Sif Mem. Fine. Then he says further. Then says the Rosh, Shelo yosiach al koish shel brocha. What does it mean, Shelo yosiach al koish shel brocha? And this is really that we're going to be concentrating on. It seems to be there's not much to talk about here. Again, it's one line, like everything is one line, and it seems to be quite a very simple line. We know that when a person finishes a suda and you bench, right, many times you'll use a koish, you bench al koish. If you have a minion, Most people bench on a kois. Some people bench on a kois even if you have only mezuman. Three people you bench on. And some people even be yochid, even there's nobody around. I know the Nodim Gadol, Choshu Adam Gadol, whenever he benched, right, he poured himself a cup of wine and he benched. And he benched holding a kois. So that's the kois that you're using for benching, that you're saying the benching of, that's called koishul bracha. That's called koishul bracha. So the Rosh says, Shlo Yasiach, a person should not, right, should not make conversation, should not talk, should not be mafsik. Shlo Yasiach al koishul bracha. Now exactly, what are the guidelines? What does the Rosh mean? Do not talk al koishul bracha. So remember that we mentioned that the Tosfos Yontef himself, not only published an edition of the Orchis Chaim, but he translated in Yiddish. Because he felt it was so important to learn the Hanhogis of the Orchis Chaim. They translated in Yiddish because women may not be so well versed in Lashon Kodesh, especially at those times. And then he translated. So the Tosfos Yontef explains, if you have in the Tosfos Yontef, he says, Shlo Yasiach al Koishul Bracha means that a person certainly should not be, not allowed to be masik in the middle of benching. When you're in the middle of benching, you're not allowed to talk out. Everybody knows that. But, says the Tosfos Yontef, how long are you supposed to hold back from talking? Until after you drink the kois. In other words, I feel the shingenic bench, and you finish benching, but you still have to make, when you have a koishul bracha, what happens? You finish benching, then you make a priya gofen, and you drink. So the Tosfos Yontef says, if you're benching ala kois, the iser to be mafsik continues on, even when you finish benching, until after you drank from the kois. That's what it means, Shlo Yasiach al koishul bracha. You should not be speaking over the, means Kozman, he still has a koishul bracha in his hand, because he didn't drink yet from it. He didn't drink. Once you finish drinking, it's finished. So the Tosfos says, you're not allowed to be mafsik. That's how he learns pshat. This is what the Rosh means, Shlo Yasiach al koishul bracha. But he should not be masiach, means he should not be speaking, he says, from the time that you're benching, right, till koishul bracha. If we take a look on the sheet now, we're going to see and find out that it goes even further than that. You'll see Gimon's opinion regarding this. Let's take a look. First item that we have on the sheet is actually from a sefer called Oitzer Halochis, which basically brings down from the Shulchan Aruch, but he basically made a summary of many of the halochis in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the first thing he brings down over here, see the first item, Lahafstik b'emtzei birchas hamozon in besicha. The person wants to be mafstik, right, the middle benching, talking. Lo yasiach hamevorech, a person who is benching ala kois, a person who is benching ala kois, the mevorech should not speak out. Hamevorech al kois berches hamozon mishor shenosnu loy hakois levorech. You see what's happening over here. Now this is from the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Pei Gimel Sivov. Shulchan Aruch says, in other words, you know, when the person is benching on the kois, either you hand them the kois, as some say, the moment you take the kois in your hand, you didn't bench yet, you're not allowed to talk out. The mevorach should not be talking out. Okay? See what? And you see, look at the, for a moment, go to number 2 in the bottom, that's the references. That's the source. Just right after that, number 2 underneath. That's Shulchan Aruch Sivov. V'ayim Mishal Sechuvah is B'tzei L'Chochem. B'tzei L'Chochem is Rabbi Tzal Shtern, was the brother of the Debrett Sinarov, who was here in America, in Borough Park. Debrett Sinarov was Rabbi Moshe Shtern, and he is the Rabbi Tzal, Zechonim Vrocha, both. He writes, the whole Mokim Sh'osel L'daber, wherever there's an Isser to speak out, it means even one word. Sometimes people think you can't keep a conversation. When it's also to be mafsik, it means it's also even to say a word, he says. Osa afilo tevachas. K'moshe Matsinu, the Osa la'ano is b'emtzei, even omein na'latze. If I'm middle benching, somebody else is making a bracha, I'm not even say omen. If I'm in the middle of benching, omen is only one word. So he says, "Kemoishim mitzino the osa la'anu is be'emza." In middle of benching, it is also to say, "Afilani es omen." The ain ala tevachas. So be kisser. So you're not allowed to be mafsik, and the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to be mafsik, not only during benching, from the moment that you take the kois in the hand, you didn't start benching yet. Not allowed to be mafsik. Let's go further. What about the people who are sitting around the table? B'shar ha-mesubim, but the other people who are sitting around, asurim ledabre mishor shehischel ha-mevorech b'ches ha-mozim. So the first opinion says, the mevorech himself is also to speak from the moment he picks up the kois, but the people around him can still speak until benching starts, until the mevorech starts at least the bench. Look further. V'yesh machmirim, Then you have a yesh machmirim usvir lahu. They hold the gam hamesubim asurim ledaber mishenosnu hakoyis biyad hamavorech. And by the way, look here again. Look underneath ayin ches. Look underneath number two ayin ches. Mogen Avrom v'chein kosef shulchan aruch harav u'mishtebrure. So if you're sitting, let's say at a shalashudis or whatever of a tish, and the kois is being given over to the one who's supposed to bench, even though nothing happened yet, just had a gram, no one should be speaking. That's the Yesh Machmirim, that's the Shittat Mog Avrom, Shulchan Aruch Harav, who's the Tanya, and the Mishabru and the Kaf HaChaim, which is from the Sfar Shel Gedolim as well. So it's important to know that people are not aware that. I didn't start benching yet. You know? As soon as the Kois is put into the hands of the Mavarech, he didn't yet say Rabbi Yisrael on benching. He didn't say it yet. He didn't say it, but he has the Kois in his hand already. Once he has the Kois in his hand, also a Hafsi. Okay? That's one thing. Now, let's take a look at the Kav HaYoshar. Let's go, which is the number three. The Kav HaYoshar, we mentioned quite a number of times, we feature the Sefer in Shabbos sometime in the Chumash here. Kav HaYoshar was a great goy who basically lived in the 1600s, a lot of gezeiros and a lot of pogroms that he went through, and he fled to Frankfurt and so on. He was imprisoned many times, and he wrote a Gevaldig Yemusa Sefer, which is basically, many of the sources are from the Zohar and from Kabbalah, the Sefer Kav HaYoshar. His name was Tzvi Hirsch Kaidenover. The Tzvi Hirsch Kaidenover, and you know, the word Hirsch is Hayosher. Take the word Hayosher. You rearrange the letters Hayosher, you have Hirsch. And guess what? And then take the word, it's also, he has 102 Perokim, Kimiyin Kav. There's 102 Perokim that say Kimiyin Kav. And also Tzvi is what? Tzvi is 102, Kimiyin Kav. His name was Tzvi Hirsch. So Kav is Tzvi, right? And Hirsch, Hayosher. That's Hayosher. Okay, Malkuri writes. He says when the Mevarech, he says, picks up the Koshel Bracha. So next time you bench, in Shulchan Aruch it's also mentioned, but he gives a reason. Shulchan Aruch is mentioned that you should keep your eyes on the Kois. Keep your eyes on the Kois. He says, Sorech Litin Einov the Koshel Bracha. If you have a Koshel Bracha in your hand, keep your eyes focused on it, the Yechavin boy, and what should you have in mind? Should have in mind, Shekemoikain, just like you are looking, it's called Koshel Bracha. The Kaisel Bracha, just like you are looking at it, Shekemoiken Yashgiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bahashgoche Tedir Al Yisrael. We want Kadosh Baruch Hu to have his eyes upon us too. The same way that I'm looking at the Kaisel Bracha, it's like Midi Kenegid Midi, this should invoke and arouse the Kadosh Baruch Hu should also, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu should keep his Hashgoche divine supervision. Am HaKadisha, the holy nation, the Kayim Bonu. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Mekayim with us, the Posik, Eine Hashem Alekecho Bo, Mereshis Hashona. The eyes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu should be upon us to protect us. So that's the Gvaldi Yizgula. He said, by Koshel Bracha, keep your eyes on the Koshel Bracha. You keep your eyes on the Koshel Bracha. And to have the Kavona, that just the same way that I'm looking at this Kosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu should have his eyes on Klal Yisrael and on the Jewish people to protect them. And there's another thing. By the way, this is just agav, just to mention it. Many people know that. Not all of the bread should be cleared from the table by benching. Some of the bread should be left. But again, there's many reasons for that. The Kav HaYoshar brings the reason. Look, Revius says the fourth inyan that I want to remind you of. Sheyu alechem adayin al hashulchan. You should still have some bread on the table. Shoyi hashulchan reikom. We don't want the table to be empty. You know why? For your benefit. The holeis birchiso mishtakach beduchte rekonye. Broche cannot be chal on an empty surface, he says. Befrat, especially al pesayre rekai, especially on an empty table. A table is symbolic, right? Where food should be there. There should be broche. There should be a lot of food to eat. Should be able to eat and to be able to share. If you have an empty table, that is the antithesis of what bracha is. And if you are benching, he says, and which benching means birchas hamazon, thanking Hashem for the food, and you want to bracha to keep and continue, right? To be mefarnes or yisonu tomit, continue to sustain us. So therefore, to have a mokum to the bracha to be chal, you should have some lechem on the table. So it's important, he says, in order simply to be able to connect and to be able to receive the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by having lechem on the table. So that's another nekuda. That, fine. So now we go to the Hashkofes Advarim, Rabbi Yisai. Hashkofes Advarim, and this next piece that you have over here, you see, it's from Oirach Yishorim, which happens to be a pirish in a certain edition on the Yerches Chaim, and it brings down different shiurim that were said on the Yerches Chaim, and this particular piece, as you can see in the bottom, is from the Ponovitcherov, as it says, right underneath the piece, you find in the brackets of Yosef Shloim Kahneman, Zatzal, Goyna Bezen Ponovitch, as you can see. You want to explain what's the idea? Why are you not allowed to be Masiach to speak? He says on a kosher bracha. What's the big deal? You have the kosher in the hand. You didn't start benching yet. Why are you not allowed to talk out? What's the inyan? What's the oimek advarim that you shouldn't be speaking out? Again, we just learned it now in the Orchis Chaim, which by the way Shulchan Aruch concurs. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. And by the way, Shulchan Aruch's psakim come either from the Rosh, as we said many times, or from the Rambam, or from the Rif. So well, the Rosh says it clearly. We just had here in Orchis Chaim. Shlo yasiach, a person should not speak out when he has kosher bracha. So let's take a look what the Panovich Rosh says here in this piece number 4. Masha Rosh Zal Navy Din. When the Rosh brings the halacha shlo yasiach al kosher bracha kishenot lebiyodoi, why should one not speak out when you take the kosher bracha in your hands? Why not? Here he says, "O Adam, hurkav, a man is a combination. A man is a combination meguf and neshama. Sheichelik alikam imal. So a man basically is half guf and he's half neshama." As a matter of fact, you remember, in a couple of weeks ago, or months ago already, it's flying by, it's more than weeks, it's months, in one of the Chumashim, we brought down this smag, the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rishon. The smag writes in the Hagdomah that man was created at the end, right after the animal world, man at the end, because man is half animal and is half human being. Mitzad is goofy, he's like an animal. All the basic natural needs, right, that any creature has, man also has. Same desires. But man has not only intelligence, but man has the neshama, which is his chelik, which means he's half malach, he says. He says he's half malach and half behemoth. It's interesting. Two extremes. Half malach, he says, and half behemoth. That's what a man is. So this is the Panovich Rishrov says, Poshit, man is a murka. Man is a combination of guf and neshama. Neshama is a chelik alakai mimal. So man has a shtik rabbeinu shloilem in him. Mitzad is neshama, a man has a shtik rabbeinu shloim. He's a walking rabbeinu shloim, kibi yochel. He's a walking rabbeinu shloim. He has a shtik rabbeinu shloim. But there's tension. The neshama wants something else, and the goof wants. What the goof wants, the neshama rejects, tries to reject. And what the neshama wants, the goof doesn't want. So there's constant and continuous tension, he says. And this war, this tension between the nefesh and the goof, Yochel ha'odom bas of Adam, man who is a bas of Adam, how is he able? How is man able to overcome, right, his natural desires only through Torah mitzvahs? It doesn't work intellectually. It does not work intellectually. That's where you'll find very, very bright people, very smart people. They get caught in scandals, even though logically it doesn't make sense. And they're bright people, not too much stupid people. People way up there. Because as intelligent as you can be, and by logic, it'll tell you, I'm not supposed to, I can't do this, I'm going to ruin my career, I'm destroying myself. The intelligent people, all the logic in the world is not strong enough to fight off your basic desires. The only way to do it is through Torah mitzvahs. Only through Torah mitzvahs. That, if you're connected to that, you're able to control it, points out. And this is nothing new. I mean, this is quite, we see this, quite apparent that we see it all around us, he said. He says, the way, this melchoma, how can an Odom Bas of Adam Lenatzeach, how can it be victorious? How can it be victorious over, right, the goof? How can he allow the neshama, right, to gain the upper hand? Because the Torah mitzvahs, what Torah mitzvahs do? Torah mitzvahs sanctifies goof, so goof also becomes Kodesh. That's the point. As long as the goof, right, represents something which is opposite of the neshama, then there's tension, and the goof will win out. But if you're able to be mekadosh the goof, yes, you can be mekadosh the goof. You're able to infuse the goof with kedusha, thereby narrowing the gap between the neshama and the goof. Because the goof itself, right, joins up together, coexisting together with the neshama. So if you're mekadosh, then you are able to have control over your basic desires, because the goof itself becomes a vehicle of kedusha. He points out, but tachlis to achila, and what's eating? Eating, animals also eat. Everybody eats. Everybody, you have to eat for survival. But a yid eats for a different reason. Tachlis to achila b'odom. The tachlis of achila, he says, by a person, by a human being, is why he says is kedei lichyos, in order to live velasoik behishtalmus abchira, to be able to live and to exercise my choice for the right things. That's why a yid lives. A yid lives in this world to be able to exercise the bechira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. You can go right or left. You have a choice. But to be able to exercise your bechira, right, and to channel it avur malas haTorah v'mitzvos. to make the right choices in this world, to choose a life of Torah mitzvahs, Yiddishkeit. That's what it means, la'avdo l'shamra, right? To live in this world, la'avdo l'shamra, to be protected and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And look what he says now. The words that he says now, you'll see, I'll tell you the source of those words. Look at the Panovich Rav saying here. U'kishodom oichel, listen to his words. When a person eats, who bechinas avoidas beis hamikdash, it's not an animal eating, it's not a balchai that's eating. In the beis hamikdash, you all know that's the highest level of service. There's no higher level of service in the beis hamikdash. When a yid eats, like doing avoid in the beis hamikdash. When a yid eats, it's avoid in the beis hamikdash. Zeh ha-shulchan ha-shlift Hashem. The shulchan, that's where the table is, that's where the food is, right? Zeh ha-shulchan ha-shlift Hashem. Baruch Chazal, and Chazal say, what does it mean, Zeh ha-shulchan ha-shlift Hashem? What table are we talking about? So Chazal say, Zeh shulchan ha-shalodom. Shulchan ha-shalodom, no matter where it is, it's not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's in your house, it's lift Hashem. It is lift Hashem. No matter where that table is, shulchan ha-shalodom is lift Hashem. And therefore, when a person eats, he's like doing avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, what does a yid do before he eats? He washes his hands, the tilas yadayim. Ve'lifnei o'achile tzorech litol yodov, kitaharis ha-koyin koyin avodosoi. Every morning a koyin, before he does the avodah. The voyim eloi moed yichetsu, right? Yadayim. We know that a koyin kiddush yadayim raglan. A koyin comes into the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing before he can do the avodah, we say it in the vayidam and the karbonis in the morning. Daroche is that the koyin has to wash his hands first. A yid also before he is. Same tilas yadayim. Because you are like a koyin. In a certain sense, every yid is in your own house, you're a koyin. Beis HaMikdash had certain guidelines. Therefore, he needed a koyin, a biological koyin. But here, every yid represents a koyin. You are a koyin in your own right, and therefore you do whatever the koyin does based on mikdash, you do in your house. Whatever service the koyin does based on mikdash, you do in your house. And therefore, before achila, you have to wash your hands. Ketaharas ha-koyin koyin ma'avodosoi. The same as that a koyin purifies. Ukishemevar berches ha-mozoin. And when a yid benches, right? It's not some eating. He benches after he eats, because it's an avoda. It's all connected. It's all connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And after that, after you finish eating, you make a bracha. Tzor koishol bracha b'shem u'malchus. He takes the koishol bracha and he's going to make a boy priya gofen on that. Shem l'keinu melech oilem boy priya gofen. And regarding the koishol bracha, the Gemara in Brachas points out that 10 things, even though we're not knowing a lot of the things, what the Gemara talks about regarding a koishol bracha, one of the things the Gemara says, itur koishis. The Vilna Goyen actually complied with that halacha. Itur koishis means that you had the koishol bracha, you had it on a tray, and you had like 10 little small becheles, 10 little koishis, like whiskey cups, surrounding it also with wine, as if to promote. The koishol bracha is in the middle like a king, surrounded by little subjects. Little bechers of wine. That's called itur. And why? All to promote the covet of the kois. The Gemara talking about 10 things about it. The quality of the wine. The wine those days used to be very, very sharp. You had to dilute it. The Gemara says, koishol bracha. If you didn't dilute the wine, that's not a coveting of wine. You can't use that for koishol bracha. The wine has to be properly diluted. Right? The ratio was one part wine to three parts water, or one part wine to two parts water, depending on the strength of the wine, whatever it was. You have to dilute the wine to make it very drinkable. And there's one more thing. One opinion the Gemara actually brings over there, when someone benched and you took the koishol bracha in your hand, you put on a talus. Put on a talus! You put on a talus, you go to the Yomit. You heard of that. You put on a talus and maybe you go for an aliyah. You put on a talus when you're benching. You know why you're putting on a talus? Big day kahuna! Big day kahuna here. You're putting on a talus when you're standing in front of the Shechina. The chen inyan ha'ituf. The Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos means the inyan of ituf. Sheniska b'gemara. That's ke'eim big de kiyuna me'yuchol ha'avoida. It shows that the achil of the yid, right? The seder of breakfast, the seder of lunch, whatever, it's not stam. It's an avoida. So a person says, I'm taking a break for lunch. No, you're taking a break to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. Person taking a break, you know, to eat supper? No, you're not taking a break to eat supper. You're taking a break to do through eating supper, through eating lunch, through eating breakfast. These are all vehicles that avoid this Hashem in a serious way. Because that distinguishes an Odom from Stam Balchai. Because Balchai does the exact same thing. But you do it as a Kohen Gadol doing the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the difference. And then he says further, Ukeshi yinhag Odom, be'iyan acholosoi. When a person really eats
the way a Yid is supposed to eat. If a Yid eats the way a Yid is supposed to eat, b'kedusha, with holiness, he makes a bracha before he eats. He's eating in order to have koich to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. He's eating in order to be able to be a better Yid. If a Yid eats b'kedusha, u'kfi hadinim shenemru, following the halachas, connected to eating, mitoch hachonas haguf lavodes Hashem, by eating, he's now preparing, right? He's preparing his body to be healthy and well to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. Kemoshe mevi korban lifnei Hashem. It's like bringing in carbon. In other words, you know what it means? I'll show you soon the source. It means that the food that enters into the body of man, the food is like a carbon, and the man is like a mizbeach. His table, right? His table, it's like the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it is. And by the way, do you realize, do you remember that the Shulchan had a zeir, had a crown, had a frame around it? In Parshas Truma, comes the Netziv, and the Netziv says, why is there that frame or that zeir? It's a crown, but it's the crown, it's called a zeir, it's called a crown, but it surrounds the table, right? It surrounds the table in form of a little fence. The idea is, Shulchan represents eating. Man has to have a fence around his eating. You just don't stuff yourself. You just don't fill yourself to fulfill your desires. First of all, it's not even healthy. But the Yid who is b'kedusha is not allowed to succumb and be taken in, not by him, by the attraction to food. And for anything else that matter. But food is something which is very, very, by nature, that a person has this natural desire. And many people are destroyed by food. They destroy themselves, as we know that. The Shulchan has the zeir around it, has the frame around it to show to curb the achila. Have control on what you put in your mind. So points out the Netziv. Further, so he says, Vizehu. So he quotes a posik. He doesn't tell us where the posik is, but that posik is in Mishlei. So posik in Mishlei. Posik in Mishlei says, Oy Rechayim, you know what the way of life is? People are living in this world, but they're not living. They're just existing. Oy Rechayim, the path of life. What's called life? Lemalo lemaskil. If life brings them higher, by using his seichel. That's called living. The path of life is not just breathing in air, right? Eating, drinking. That's called existing. You're doing what any bal chai does. What's called the path of life? Lemalo lemaskil. Where you become elevated. You become elevated in the things that you do here in this world. Shegoydalo misala b'kedusha. Lemalo. Right, we continue to grow and becomes elevated in Kedusha. Lamala Sodom Asholam, to the top level that man is able to rise. There's no end to spiritual heights that man is able to reach. That's called Oir Chaim. And that's why the Rosh says, Shleisiach al Koishal Bracha. Do not talk by Koishal Bracha. Because Koishal Bracha, as you have to realize, the Koishal Bracha is all part of Avodas Hashem. You have to concentrate. All the thing, eating, and you're making a bracha on the Koishal Bracha. It's all service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talking out takes away. Then it becomes reduced, like drinking a cup of wine. Koishal Bracha is not just drinking a cup of wine. Yes, it is a cup of wine. But you're not just drinking a cup of wine. It's Koishal Bracha. It becomes the source of making a bracha. It's all part of Avodas Hashem. It's part of Avodas Hashem that you cannot be Masiach. Because the Achila, the whole Hanhoga of a Yid, whatever he does, but it's all part of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are the words, as you see here, of the Ponovitch Rav, as we've just quoted. I want to show you that I believe that the source of whatever he's saying, not in Koshel Bracha, he's relating it to Koshel Bracha, is Mamshin Ramchal, the Mesil Sesharim. Take a look at these words. It's incredible words of the Ramchal, Mesil Sesharim, Perik Chavov. Look at these words. It's almost, I think, Ramchal writes these words. You can see what Ramchal expects of a person. Ramchal, you can imagine, he already achieved all that. But he expects everybody else also to follow in these ways. And look what Ramchal writes. And by the way, this is just a chelik of the perik. This is in Perik Chavov. It's a lengthy perik. We just took out excerpts just to make the point that we're looking for. And Ramchal says as follows. A person who is able to sanctify himself, who lives a life of holiness. A person who lives a life of holiness. In other words, he connects with the Kedusha of his Creator. He connects with the Kedusha of Boi Roy, of his Creator. Even he says his maisim gashmiim means his everyday things that he does. He goes to business, he goes to work, he eats, he drinks, he sleeps. Right? These are all maisim gashmiim, material things. Everything is chayuzrim liyos inyone kedusha mamish. Everything he does is kedusha. Everything. You write a check, it's kedusha. Because you're doing it the way Yid is supposed to be doing it. You're doing it for the right things. You're not writing it for the wrong things. You're doing it for the right things. Yes, you need furniture. That's also for the right thing. Why do you need furniture? To live. Why do you need to live for? To create a bayis of kedusha, to raise children, to raise a family. It's all part, it's one chain. But leading up to one ultimate purpose. That ultimate purpose is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. So everything that you do becomes kedusha mamish. It's not just a hachona for kedusha. You know what I'm saying? It's not just preparing for this. It's much deeper than that. It's a nice thing to say it's preparing kedusha. Ramchal says if you're doing it for the sake of kedusha, it becomes kedusha. If you're doing it for the sake of kedusha, it becomes kedusha. And he says mamish. He didn't want you to make a mistake thinking that you're going to miss the poem. It becomes kedusha mamosh, not like kedusha, similar to kedusha. No, actual kedusha. It becomes kedusha mamosh. Look what he says further. Hakodosh, the holy man, hadovik tomid lelikov, the holy person who is connected always, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nafshoi mishaleches, and when a person walks through the streets, through life, you know what he thinks about? You know what he really worries about? The nafshoi mishaleches bein hamuskolois huamitiyois. In other words, his neshama walks immersed in thought about loving Hashem and fearing Hashem. That's called muskolois. That's a person who's zeichet to live on that level. That whatever he does has a mind. You ask yourself a question. Before you do something, you ask yourself one question. What I'm about to do now, is a Kodesh Baruch Hu going to come out ahead, or Kodesh Baruch Hu going to come out behind? That's what you have to ask yourself. If I do what I expect to do, whatever it is, you say to yourself, is this going to make a Kiddush Hashem, or the opposite? That should be always first and foremost in your mind, before you do anything. Where is Hashem going to come out in this? Is he going to end up looking good? He's going to end up looking bad. The Ish Kodesh is always concerned about that. Because whatever he does, he says, how is it going to reflect on Kodesh Baruch Hu? How is it going to reflect on Jewish people at all? Is this a nice thing for Jewish people to do? Whatever things are being done? That is what occupies his mind. Look what he says. Such a person, he's on this world. He's not on this world. He's walking on this world, but he's like walking through Gan Eden. Because this world, for such a person, he says, this world that your person is not the physical world that you're looking around it. He's living higher. Hinei nechshev loy is considered kilu mishalech lifnei Hashem ba'atzos achayim oidenu poi bo'olam hazeh. In other words, the person is in this world and he's already a ben olam haba. Usually you think, you know, he's a ben olam haba means the next world. You could be a ben olam haba in this world. You could be a ben olam haba. You have to wait to the next world. You could be a ben olam haba in this world. A person who is connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says. V'hine ish kozeh. Now listen to the words. This is incredible, incredible words. Listen to the next line. V'hine ish kozeh hu atzmoi nechshav k'mishkon. He's the Mishkan. The Mishkan. The holiest place in the world. Hashem said, V'osuli migdosh, it's my house, the house of Hashem. V'osuli migdosh shechanti b'soicham. Said Ramchal, man himself is a Mishkan. Can be a Mishkan. He becomes a Mishkan. Kamigdosh becomes Mizbeach. He's like a Beis Hamigdosh. He's like a Mizbeach. Ukemamorim zechroinu levrocha. As Chazal say, by Yaakov Avinu, it says in Parshas Vayishlach, you know, Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu. You know, and know what it says, when Kodesh Baruch Hu finished. Kodesh finished business. Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves. You know what the Loshon is? Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves. Look what the Pasuk says. It doesn't say Hashem departed. Vaya'al me'olo velikim. Let's translate these words. Hashem ascended from him. You know what that means? That means till then Hashem was upon him. Says Chazal, that's exactly what tzaddikim are able to. That's exactly what tzaddikim are able to reach. That they become a vehicle that the Shekhinah rests upon them. They become a chariot. The same way that a chariot, right? Yeah, if you see a chariot going through the street, you know the king is there. You see the royal chariot, right? See, you have to see the king. But if you see the royal chariot, you know the king is there. When you see tzaddikim, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Because they're the makom, they're the chariot. Because they represent, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. The Ovis were the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you saw Avram, Yisrael, Yaakov, Hashem was upon them. You knew that Hashem is right there. The same thing, tzaddikim, the chen omru. Hatzadikim, hein hamarkov. They are the royal chariot. Ki ashchina shoyr aleim, ki the shchina rests upon them. He says, kemoi shehoi se shoyr b'migdosh. Imagine. No less that when the shchina was in the Beis HaMikdosh, the shchina rests upon these tzadikim.
Uma'ato, and therefore, look again, Ramchal repeats and says, when I say repeat, actually, that we saw before by the Ponovicharov, Uma'ato, Hamachol Shehem Oichlim, the food that Tzadikim eat, right? Hu kikarbon she'oilol gabahu ishim, is a carbon that goes on the fire. So when a Yid eats like a Yid is supposed to eat, he's being makrav the carbon. He's being makrav the carbon because he's like a Migdosh, he's like a Mishkan, he's like a Mizbeach. Cain, he says, Hamachol v'amishta shu'ish ha'kodesh oichol. It elevates the food. The food becomes elevated because from being ashtik food, it became elevated. It was offered up on a Mizbeach. Like an animal, the same animal. Once it's offered on a carbon, an animal becomes Kodesh Kodoshim. And now it becomes Kodesh Kodoshim. A piece of food that was nothing, but now that it was consumed and eaten like a Yid, it's eaten by Yid. In Avodas Hashem, this food now became elevated. The food became elevated from being stam a piece of food, becoming a chefetz of kedusha. Eloi hu lamachol. It's an elevation for the food. Well, the mishta hu and the thing that is drinking. Ki ilo nikrav al gabe hamizbeach mamish. Again, he says. Here's where he can't say it any clearer. This is what a yid is able to aspire to. This is the madrega that a yid is allowed to reach. So I want to tell you something, Rabbi Yisai. For the benefit of those that were not by the Chumashir, I have here a few lines that we had this past Shabbos in the Chumashir. So those who heard it, this few lines, it's just a chelik, small chelik, but you'll enjoy it because it's something we did not bring in the Chumashir either. So now, I'll bring you just a few lines over here, and you can mamish appreciate what we see here from the Ramchal. And that, let me stop to give you a small hakdoma. Because this is, amazing words, which were discussed on Shabbos. And that is, if you ask a Yid, what is the definition of the word achila? There's no achila. Achila means to eat. Achila means to eat. Everybody knows achila means to eat. You ask a Yid or anyone, he says, what is the shayrish of the word achila? Why is the act of eating called achila? Everything in Lashon Kodesh has a shayrish, has a root. So if you ask a Yid, why is achila called eating? Achila is eating, we know that. Why? What is the shayrish? What makes the word achila mean to eat? What? So we have here, from the Ksava HaKabbalah, in a sefer, or a siddur called Iyun Tefillah, and he actually repeats it a little bit differently in his sefer Ksava HaKabbalah in Bereishis, Bereishis Tes. We didn't bring down Shabbos from Bereishis Tes. We have a few lines we do have now. First of all, didn't fit on the sheet anyway, so we brought down what we were able to bring down. Here we bring it back. This is a synopsis. The Ksava HaKabbalah says, remember, let me just give you a little background again. Ksava HaKabbalah is from the time of Reb Kiveger. He lived in the early 1800s. He was a tremendous loichem, a fighter against the Reform movement at the time. Tremendous fighter. And one of the most authoritative and original interpretation of Lashon Kodesh. He would take a word in Lashon Kodesh and read into it and find nuances that you won't find anywhere. Interesting, someone who lived fairly late, I think 1800s, way later than the time of the Rishonim. He says that Machakrei Haloshin, let me just say it by heart first a little bit. He says people who investigate language, they said that the word Machol, the Shoyrish, is from the Shoyrish of the word Kloyo. Kloyo means to destroy. Right? Kloyo. Yeah. What does it mean? To destroy. When a person eats, you're destroying, disintegrating, right? Disintegrating, separating the particles until there's nothing left. You're destroying. Machol is from the Loshon of destroying. He says, the Machakrei Loshon. I don't agree, he says. I don't agree. He says, when an animal eats, it destroys. A human being eats, he says, Machol, he says, is from the Loshon of Shleimus. I'll give you an example. Machol is the lotion of completion. He doesn't give that moshel, but he gives a lot of others. Because Machol completed his work. Completed. It's the opposite of destroying. The same word kol. Kol can be kloy or can mean destroying. The same word can also mean completing. Hashem completed. He brought into Shleimus. Machol means from the lotion of Shleimus. When the Yid eats like he's supposed to eat, he is bringing the food to its Shleimus. What's the purpose of the food in Bria and creation? What Hashem created for? Should be another piece. What's the difference between food or anything else that Hashem created? Which is simply mundane, yeah? But by eating it like a Yid eats, he now elevated and brought it to a higher level in the Bria. He brings the food with the Shleimus. Machol is from Loshen. So if you ask a Yid, now, let's sit back again. If you can ask a Yid, what is the definition of Machol? Does Machol mean destroying? Or does Machol and Shleimus? You know what the answer is? It depends how you eat.
If you eat like a behemoth, like a balchai, then machal means destroying. If you eat the way a yid is supposed to eat, then machal mishlamis. Let's take a look very quickly, whatever we have, a little few time. Almost look number 7 on top of the sheet. Okay, a few lines again from the Sefer Iyun Tefillah. Just remember a few lines. Says it on the benchim chaltov esavota in that area. Mechakrei shiroshe haloshen. Those who are investigating the shayrish of language, yechabru loshen achile. Right, so they connect the loshen, the word achile, hamishamish lemozoin. Right, achile, which is used for food. Im loshen achile, they connect achile of food with the loshen achile hamishamish that is also used alakloyen vashchosa. By the way, where do you find achile mean destroying? In the Toichach it says. He quotes it in the brackets. Va'achale, va'ochla eschem eretz oyvechem. The enemy will consume you. That literally means the enemy will eat you. Will the enemy eat you? They're not cannibals. Achila means to destroy. Ah. So therefore, so mechakrei haloshim make a parallel. Just like va'ochla eretz oyvechem means the enemy will destroy. Va'ochla. So when you actually eat, it also means destroying. The parallel of the two achilas. So he says, why? Because what is the pool of achila? The pool of achila is keloyim guf hamachal, is destroying the guf of the food. Upirid chalokov vashchososom. That's what it does. The einani moedel edivreim. I don't agree with them. I don't agree that achila means to destroy. Loimar. I don't agree to say shetchilas hanochas loshen achila. That the real, right? That the real definition of achila la mozoim here. Mitam kaloyon vashchosa samachal. Kim lahefech. My opinion is achila is the opposite from destroying. Shum mishayrish, right? Kolo is from the shayrish of kolo hamoyre, which means alboy dover ledei gomroy vashlomosoy. He says it in German. He says it here in brackets there. He said kolo habayis lechol devorov. When the Beis Hamikdash was finished, it said kolo habayis. Beis Hamikdash came to completion. See the word kolah means to complete, shleimus. He brings another posik. He brings a posik in Rus. Kolah hadover hayoyim. Everything was completed today. Kolah means complete, not destroy also. So kolah means complete. Machol from the Loshen completion. It means to say, shibiterim, in other words, shibiterim boi dover le de gomri. Before something is finished, it's lacking shleimus. Before a human being eats it, the food is lacking shleimus. When something is completed, then it reaches the shleimus. So now turn the sheet on the side. Now we have a shtickle. We did not have Shabbos. We had much more, but we didn't have this piece. Number 8, we did not have Shabbos. Looking from Ksava Kabbalah. Let's take a look. The same Mechaber. One is from the Sefer Iyun Tefillah, Sidur Iyun Tefillah, and this is from his actual Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, in Breishis Tes. Omnom, look what he says. Ey Messai, he says, Yasig hanechal shleimus yoser. When can you really say that the food by being eaten, right, attained shleimus? When can you say that? That food by being eaten attained greater shleimus yoser nechbod bimashoy bimekoidim. Ze eina rakish shenechal meodom. Not when an animal eats. When an animal eats, did not do anything. Did not do anything to benefit, right, to elevate the food. It's only when man eats, shehu mitzad nafshoy mivchar abriya, because man has a neshama, which makes him the choicest of creation. Kisaseno lias muchen and muchshel lishars b'kodesh. Man, right, man was given the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with kedusha. Omnom, he says, however, listen to this, but not all human beings eat like a yid eats. Matter of fact, not every yid eats like a yid is supposed to eat. Omnom, look at this next line. Omnom la noshim amishtakim b'machal amishta. People who have become addicted to eating and drinking. There are people who are addicted to eating and drinking. V'chol iskeim, and whatever they do is zoilus vasvir. It's talking about being a glutton and talking about being a guzzler. A guzzler is someone who drinks a lot, and a glutton is someone just who eats a lot. There are people who have, this would do, stuffing themselves, but and filling themselves. That's the opposite, that's the mevazet Torah avoyde. The k'moy p'chusim kele, to these people on the low level, such low people, who achila is kaloyon, yeah, to them is destruction. To them achila means like the other pshat, achila means to destroy. That just means destroying the food. They didn't do anything to enhance the food, the shleimus of the food.
Because it does not reach, any area. Anyway, so this is the point. So as we see, so when Ramchal tells us that a person can be like a mizbeach, a person when he eats his mamiz ashuchan al vivna Hashem, and he's being makrav a korban, because that stems very much, goes very hand in hand, that achila means from loshin shleimus, completion. Because when he eats like that, then the achil, this is the true achil, that was the kodesh brochu intended. That was the kavod, the whole intent of how a yid is supposed to eat. So let me just leave you just with a little small mice, a very well known mice that Rav Sholem Shadron used to say over many, many times. He talked about Rav Aaron Kaliner, you know, tzaddikim by tzaddikim, especially Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. One of the main things by the Hasidic Rebbes, and in their Hasidus, Achila is a very big avoider. Achila is an avoider. Because you have to curb your natural desire, and achil is supposed to be an avodas Hashem. By the way, that's the whole concept of Rebbe Shetish. What's Rebbe Shetish? The idea is to see how, because the achila of an Eloh Chayid, of a tzaddik, is an avodas Hashem, and the tish of the Rebbe is supposed to represent exactly what Ramchal is telling us. And that's why when Hasidim go around the tish of a Rebbe, what's the big deal to see the Rebbe eat? Yeah. Because supposedly, right, hopefully, because that's what's being displayed, is the achil of a tzaddik that's eating in the way that he represents a mikdash, he represents a mishkan, the shulchan is a mizbeach. And whatever he is eating, the tzaddik eats, represents a korban. You have to learn. So you don't go just to learn, he said, how to put on tefillin, you just don't go how to learn. Right? How to learn, how to be an elch, you have to learn how to eat. So what are you, who's going to teach you how to eat? Who's going to teach you how to eat? How to eat like a yid supposed to eat. They go to a tzaddik. And that's the whole concept. That's all come to the Rebbe. So the Svarim are filled with this. All the Hasidic Svarim. But the avoid of Achille. It's not an easy thing. Achille. To be unavoid is Hashem. Right? To transcend the natural desire that a person has. Of course you have desire. Because you were created. Or else you would have an appetite. But then the focus should be the purpose. The tachlis. Not to confuse the tachlis. Now. So they said, Rav Aaron Kaliner, a young chosid came in, and he saw that the Rebbe was eating a type of a food. And of course he saw the Rebbe make a bracha, he saw the Rebbe eat. So he was thinking to himself, he says, what's the chile between me and the Rebbe? Yich Yankel, he says, I also eat, the Rebbe eats. I make a bracha, he says, and the Rebbe makes a bracha. And the Rebbe was toifis his machshove, part of the moifis. The Rebbe was toifis his machshove. And it says, Yankel, I'll tell you the difference between me and you. He says, I get up in the morning, I look at the world, and I see the gewaldige world, he said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu created. I'm so tempted to make a brocha, Morabu Masecho Hashem, I want to make a brocha. But you can't make a brocha levatola. So I'm forced to eat, so I should be able to make a brocha. You also, Yankel, get up in the morning, and you see the beautiful fruits that Hashem created, you want to eat the fruits, so you make a brocha. The difference he says between me and you is, he says, I make a brocha and you make a brocha. He says, however, you make a brocha to eat, and I eat in order to make a brocha. That is the difference.